As we begin this holiest week of the church's calendar, I both invite and exhort you to ensure that you will have time this week to participate in the sacred triduum, the masses of Holy Thursday, the liturgy on Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, certainly, of course, on Easter Sunday. If you've never participated in a triduum before, you've really been missing out. If you've been participating, if you have participated in the triduum in the past, you know exactly what I mean. It is significant to go through these most important liturgies of the church's year so that our Holy Week is not just whittled down to Easter Sunday. Remember, in order to get to Easter Sunday, Christ has to pass through Holy Thursday and Good Friday as well. Now, I know in some places there's always talk that we should move the Good Friday liturgy at 3 in the afternoon to 7 or 7:30 at night so that it might be more convenient for those who work. I always like to remind people, believe you me, dying for our sins was not convenient for Jesus. Good Friday was good for everyone but our Lord. It was a very, very dark day, the darkest day ever, the most evil of days, and yet it bore the greatest of fruits. In the interest of time this morning, I want to turn our attention to a small detail that perhaps we may have overlooked at the gospel that we heard at the very beginning of Mass, immediately following the blessing of the palms. It's the gospel I read at the entrance of the church. This idea for this homily was motivated, actually, by my spiritual director, who's a priest of Opus Dei. My spiritual director has in his office a relatively impressive collection of wood and ceramic and made of other materials, little donkeys, just like this one, that I keep on my desk. This one's hand-carved. It's from Jerusalem. It's of some value, but not as much as others, I suppose. And I keep this donkey on my desk. It's right next to my crucifix. And people always like to ask me, Father, how come you have a donkey on your desk? And it's actually something inspired by my spiritual director. He said that the Father of Opus Dei, St. Jose Maria Escriva de Balaguer, used to have what's called the theology of the donkey that carries Jesus into Jerusalem. And this is what he said, the saint said. He said that if you notice in the gospel, until the moment that the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, untether this colt and make provisions to put Jesus on it, this colt is relatively unknown. I mean, it's just like any other animal in the city. But Jesus gives that animal its own value. Why? Because the disciples tell the owner, the master has need of it. Suddenly, this colt, who probably woke up that morning, not realizing that his name would be recorded in the scriptures for all eternity, becomes a very, very important character in the gospel. But you see, St. Jose Maria says that the colt is very useful for Jesus. He carries him on his back into Jerusalem, one of the most important moments of his public life. But the colt makes a terrible mistake if the colt thinks, even for a moment, that as they process through the gates of Jerusalem, that the crowds are singing Hosanna in the highest for him. They're not cheering for the colt. They're cheering for the man on his back. And St. Jose Maria says, goes further, he says, you know, the donkey, the colt, whatever the animal was, is a great metaphor for the disciple of Jesus. He says, you know, your donkey should always have its head down. You should never buy a donkey with its head up, like some political party's head. Your donkey should be head down. And St. Jose Maria says, the reason why is because this is a great metaphor for the believer in the Lord Jesus. A good donkey. Head down, full steam ahead. Not very fast, not very slow, steady as she goes. One foot in front of the other. No flash, no pizzazz. Day in, day out. Head down. Keep on going. This is, of course, a wonderful, and I think you would agree, a beautiful metaphor for our lives of faith. That we just put our heads down and just keep on going, little by little. And sometimes we do have to carry Jesus on our backs. They're not caring for us, remember, St. Jose Maria says. They want to see the man on the back of the donkey. So as we make our way to Jerusalem with Jesus and into this great city of peace, ironically called that enough, of course, that we also take time to not only accompany him into Jerusalem, but also to accompany and console Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Sorrows. A sword shall pierce her heart this week, as it was prophesied nearly 30 years before the time that Jesus welcomed to Jerusalem. And so we console the Blessed Mother. We ponder this week that except outside of our Lord himself, no one suffered more than Our Lady to endure and to witness what we are about to celebrate in liturgical form in these coming days. Finally, in a particular way, I commend to your prayers this week all of the fallen away Catholics who will be amongst us a week from today. The Christmas and Easter only Catholics. We have many of them we know. Many of them are in our families. Some of them might even be here today. We pray that during this week called Holy, our prayer, our fasting, and our words of encouragement will help them come to realize that they need a Savior, like we all do, more than they even realize, sadly at times, that we all need the Savior. Let us pray for them, and let us pray, even as we pray for our own conversion, that the Lord of all history, who suffers and dies for us in Jerusalem this week, will also help us to celebrate with great joy when he is raised from the dead. O Mary, conceived without sin,